episode 123.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about some listener feedback where I'm asked the question, why haven't you quit your day job? I also tackle some SEO topics about readability and explore some steps you can take to make your organic listings more effective. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic day. I'm not sure whether or not I am. I'm telling you, I'm a fantastic day sort of guy. I mean, I kind of carry my own weather around with me. I think that's a really important idea that I learned from Zig Ziglar when I was 18 years old. And I take my attitude with me everywhere I go. And I'm a happy guy and I'm having a happy day almost no matter what's happening. Now, there's some exceptions. You know, if there's something really bad going on or, you know, I'm not feeling great or whatever, that can affect my attitude. But generally, I'll try to power through that because your attitude has a lot to do with your altitude. That's another Ziglarism, right? So I've got this kind of mindset about this, but right now I'm just not so sure. And that's because I'm friends with Pat Flynn. Now you guys know this, and I was talking to Pat the other day and he was telling me all about how he's been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and getting all this work done. And I got all fired up and I decided I am going to record the podcast at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now you may be saying, wait a minute, Mark, it's late night internet marketing. How can you record the podcast at 4 o'clock in the morning? Wouldn't that be early morning internet marketing? And I don't know. I'm still trying to work that out. It feels awfully late to me. I'm looking outside the studio window and it's still dark. So I think this qualifies as late night internet marketing still, but I don't like it. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I normally get up at 5:30 in the morning. Okay. So I figured 4 o'clock in the morning, not a big deal. I'll just roll out of bed. Let me tell you something. I could barely work the coffee machine this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. So Pat, I'm telling you, you're a crazy man. All right. Stop it. Stop influencing me. Stop getting in my head with these crazy ideas. Hey, so this week I've got some great stuff for you. I want to get right into it before I fall asleep right here on the mic. Hey, before we get into the deepness of this SEO content that I have planned for you today and the listener feedback, I wanted to tell you about something that my buddy JLD, John Lee Dumas, is doing. I'm not affiliated with this in any way, but I think it's a good idea and it helps people. He is releasing a new book called The Mastery Journal. You'll remember he was here on episode 92 talking about the Freedom Journal. He just blew that out of the water. And now he's releasing something called The Mastery Journal. It's really cool. And here's John to tell you a little bit about it.
Hey, late night marketers, JLD here, John Lee Dumas of EO Fire. And it just seems like yesterday I was chatting with you on episode 92 here about my time driving takes in Iraq and launching the Freedom Journal. So we did that. We crushed it, became the sixth most funded publishing campaign of all time on Kickstarter, doing 453K in just 33 days. All about accomplishing your number one goal in 100 days, 17,000 copies sold to date. So I said, hey, let's go from strength to strength. And January 23rd of 2017, I am launching The Mastery Journal. Master Productivity, Master Discipline, and Master Focus in 100 Days. These are my three greatest strengths, and I want to guide and teach you on how to master all three of these to improve your business and life and take them both to the next level. So check out themasteryjournal.com during this 33-day Kickstarter campaign. Killer rewards, opportunities, videos about the Mastery Journal, all the details. And if you're listening to this after February 24th, 2017, when the campaign's over, just go ahead and check out themasteryjournal.com. That website will have all the details. Thanks, Mark. Thank you, late night internet marketers. I'll catch you all on the flip side.
So if those kind of things interest you, I encourage you to go check that out. John's a friend, and some of the proceeds from this go to build schools in Africa. And John's just a cool guy. And most of all, I like this because I think it helps my listeners. And so that's why I mention it here. If you've got an interest in this or you're looking for that little extra focus edge, I encourage you to check this out. This is intended to help you master productivity and discipline and focus over the next 100 days. I think it's going to be pretty useful. And his journals are cool to hold. They're, you know, it's like a substantial thing. So I like those. I'll buy a couple and support the cause. So I encourage you to do the same.
And now it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking. Late night listener feedback.
So, you know, I get these listener feedbacks, and I really love them. I've told you guys that before. I love to get listener feedback, especially from longtime listeners, people that are on my journey with me, right? And so I got a piece of feedback from listener Phil Zito, and he's given us some feedback before through the SpeakPipe application. So you can get to that at latenightim.com/connect or contact. They all go to the same place. If you click on the contact link on my website over at latenightim.com, you'll get to this page with lots of connection options. And down at the end, one of the things that you could do is leave a voicemail for me. And it's a really nice recording quality. Here's a little clip of the question that Phil asked.
Hey, Mark, it's Phil Zito again. And I had a quick question for you. And it's one that I've wondered, and hopefully I'm asking it in a way that comes across as respectful, because I'm meaning it with the utmost respect. But what I'm wondering is, you seem so well educated on internet business. You're in a mastermind with what I believe to be the brightest minds in internet business. And I mean, you could launch a product and they could email their list, and you could easily, in my opinion, and I may not know the facts, replace your income and be on the road to having an internet business. But yet you're still doing it at night and struggling to meet time. And I'm like thinking to myself, man, if Mark's struggling to make time for his internet business, and he's got Pat Flynn, and he has, you know, Ray Edwards, and what hope is there for me? I've got no one.
Now, it's a lot longer question. Phil goes into a lot of detail, but basically, Phil's asking the question that I get a lot of times. It's like, hey, wait a minute. You're talking about all this fantastic things that you can accomplish with internet marketing. Why haven't you left your day job? Now, I get this question all the time, and I've answered it before in previous episodes, but this, the twist that Phil put on it that I'd never considered before, that quite frankly really bothered me. It didn't bother me because Phil asked the question. It's a fantastic question, but the question I hear him, that Phil's really asking is, with all the advantages that you have, knowing Pat Flynn, like I was just talking about, and I was just on the Ray Edwards show last week, and I'm involved in social media marketing world. In fact, I'm going to be out there in March, and I consider Mike Stelzner, who runs that and runs Social Media Examiner, a personal friend. Leslie Samuel's a friend of mine. Cliff Ravenscraft and I are very close. I've got all these friends. I've met Dan Miller. You know, I mean, I know some people. With that kind of advantage, why in the world haven't I gotten to the point where I've quit my day job? And the question that Phil asked that bothers me is, if I, Mark Mason, can't achieve that level of success with all of my inside baseball kind of tracks, you know, and all the kind of influence that I apparently have, how is a regular person supposed to do it? And boy, that really got me, because my intention for the show is to be encouraging and to show people that there's all kinds of things possible. If you just apply yourself, you can do things and you can achieve things with your business that maybe you didn't even realize were possible. The intention of the show, as my friend Cliff often talks about, is to educate and inspire and encourage, you know, this kind of idea. And so the idea that I might be throwing out there an example that gave people additional fear or acted as a counterexample, boy, that really made me stand up and take notice. So, Phil, thanks for that question. That's a really insightful question. Awesome question, Phil. Thank you so much. So, number one, the main reason that I haven't quit my day job is that I like my day job. We've talked about this. I work at a large electronics company in Dallas. It's awesome. My job is awesome. I've traveled the world. I work with amazing people, most of whom are literally 10 to 100 times smarter than I am. I've worked with people who've taught at major universities. I work with real scientists. I pretend to be a scientist myself on some days. I mean, it's really great. I get to work with large electronics manufacturers around the world. And it's not an easy job, but it's very satisfying. And so I really like that. So that's one thing. The other thing is, that job, while nothing is certain, provides a level of security that I really enjoy. I mean, it would be walking away from a lot, both from a professional standpoint and all of that that I've enjoyed and all the friends I've got across the industry, and from a financial point of view. And by the way, I think one of the things that is interesting to me that I've learned in working with people that are trying to quote unquote make money online is that everyone has different ideas of financial success or what it takes to make enough money online to be happy and to be satisfied. The goals are very different. A number that you hear all the time is $10,000 a month. If I could just make $10,000 a month, that would be a little bit over $100,000 a year, and that's my goal. And a lot of people have that goal, especially in the United States. You'll hear that goal. And that does represent a sizable, fantastic income. And it's interesting, the range for that can be incredibly broad. I've had conversations with people in other countries, for example, that are very young, without, you know, a lot of responsibilities, without kids to take care of and to send to school and to buy stuff for, that talk about numbers that are more down along the lines of a couple $100 a week, depending on what country they are in and what they're doing, right? And then there are people who are established executives in corporations that are looking to make a pivot. And I've heard discussions from those people that in order for internet marketing endeavors to get their attention, they would want to make something more like $500,000 a year, which is sort of the kind of money that they're used to making. And so the truth's in the middle. I think for people to make the transition, a lot of it depends on what your current lifestyle is, how much risk you're willing to leverage, what it is that you're doing, whether or not you enjoy what you're doing, how you view your internet marketing journey, and so forth. Another thing I really like about my current situation, and I've also talked about this a lot of times, I don't have to make any compromises regarding money. I see a lot of people online that are in a position where they have to make money, and that puts them in a position where they might have to push a little harder to make a sale, be a little more aggressive about what they choose to promote, those sort of things. I don't have to make those choices because I'm doing this late night internet marketing thing because I love it. Is it a cash flow positive endeavor? Absolutely. Does it have to be? No, absolutely not. Does not have to be for me. So that's kind of a nice place that I'm in. And that's something that I would give up if I left my day job and did internet marketing full time. But getting back to the part of Phil's question that I thought was really interesting is, if I can't make it, or if I'm not in a position where I can get over the hump, how can someone without my advantages feel like they can be successful? And so one way to address that is to say, look, one of the reasons I'm not doing full-time internet marketing is because I haven't chosen to. So that's one thing. To directly answer Phil's question, and maybe this is the first time that I've ever said this on the air, the answer is, if I wanted to go full-time with my internet marketing business, I could. I could do that. If I was working, especially at first, 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week on internet marketing, I know in my heart, deep down inside, I could make a success of it. I could feed my family. I could pay my electric bill. I could do a number of things that I'm not doing now instantly, one-on-one consulting, get more serious about product launches. I could choose to leverage more aggressively the friendships that I have online. I could go to my friends and say, hey guys, look, I'm deciding to make this transition. I need a leg up. I'm not sure I would do that, but I could do that. And I know most of those guys would do whatever they could do to help me that was good for their audiences. And since I would be in the mode of delivering massive value, I'm sure I could find opportunities there. So the answer to Phil's question is, one, it's a false premise. I haven't made that decision to do that. But two, if I wanted to, I absolutely could do that. There's no question in my mind. And I believe that in general, for people out there, I've seen enough people make the transition that I will say, if you want to, if you, the general person, wants to make a full-time living on the internet with internet business, and your internet business is well thought out, and you've got the right kind of business idea, you've got the right kind of servant mentality where you're trying to help people and you're doing the hard work, you can too. And by the way, from what I know about Phil in the little bit of time that we've talked to each other online, Phil meets that definition. So I'm talking to you, Phil, and I'm talking to everybody else. I'm not the example that you can point to say that it's going to be hard for you to make it. In fact, I'm the guy you can point to and say, hey, look, Mark says this is possible. I hope that helps.
This week, in the world of internet marketing news.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about search engine optimization. And the first thing I want to do is get into a piece of news that I saw. This is an article I came across on a website called Search Laboratory. And I don't read Search Laboratory all regularly, but I did run across this link, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And the question that Search Laboratory was trying to determine is whether or not readability scores impact organic search ranking performance. So, you know, if you go use a tool like Grammarly or one of these other online tools that help you write better, or you take a look at the Yoast SEO plugin, which you can, I'll also leave a link to that in the show notes. You can find that at latenightim.com/Yoast. If you use one of those kind of tools, it will give you a score about how readable your content is. We've talked about this kind of readability idea. When you put content out there, you want to use a reading level that's appropriate for your audience. You want to make sure that you don't have giant walls of text. You want to do things in the text that pull your reader through the text, like, headlines and other things that visually break things up, including images that draw the eye, that give them a chance to skim the text well, to understand what it means and just kind of pull them through. All of these things go to readability, and that includes things like the length of sentences and the difficulty of the words that you use and all that. The question that these guys at Search Laboratory are posing is, does readability impact ranking? So they underwent a study, and their conclusion, the study's relatively inconclusive, to be honest with you. They work with a really small sample, and I've run into this before with search engine studies. You try to prove something is true or not true with a search engine, and the problem is, really, in order to get real valid scientific results, because there are so many ranking factors in search engines, you've got to take a lot of data. You got to look at not a couple of pages like they did in this study, but thousands of pages over time to understand what's going on, generally speaking, to ferret out whether or not particular search engine factors are impactful. But in the case of this, the guys over at Search Laboratory, their conclusion is they can't really see that readability is going to impact your rankings. But they make a couple of points, and I want to add one. So the first thing is, the readability of your article does impact search engine rankings indirectly, because if you're not targeting the right level of readability to your audience, they're not going to share, like, and link back to your content. If you're reading and they make this point in the article, if you're writing a paper to scientists and it doesn't have the right readability level, they're not going to reference your work. If you're writing a product review and people can't make their way through it, they're not going to click your links. They're not going to link back to your article. They're not going to share it. And so I think readability does directly impact your search engine rankings, because it's going to impact how people view your article. So that's one thing. The second thing is maybe more important, and that is that, as we've discussed many times, Google's intention is to put the best content at the top of the search rankings. And so you've got to create great content. And part of having great content is having content that's easily read by readers. When readers get to your content, it should be delightful. And readability is part of being delightful. If your content's not easily readable, it's not delightful. So it's in Google's best interest to figure out which content is most delightful. And therefore, even if readability today is not a strong signal in the algorithm, whether it is or not, it's very clear to me that over time, as Google adds more and more artificial intelligence to the algorithm, that readability and things that are influenced by readability, like shareability, likability, backlinkability, I just made that word up, but you get the idea. Those things are going to become more and more dependent on readability, and therefore that'll be more important. So pay attention to your readability. I encourage you to use the readability tools in Yoast in order to get readability to a decent level, and continue to pay attention to creating great content. That's the most important thing you can do to be successful in search engine optimization. Again, check out that link to the Search Laboratory article in the show notes.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time.
Okay, so that gets us to our main segment, where I wanted to continue the discussion about SEO and turn a little bit to this idea of the effectiveness of your organic listings. Now, we have talked many times about this idea that you want your stuff to rank, you want to rank high so you can get clicks. And we know that on average on the internet, if you rank at the top of the organic search listings for your keyword, you're going to get 30% or so, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, of the people who type that keyword into Google. About 30% of them are going to click on that first link, And by the time they get down to the end of the page, the seventh, eighth, ninth link on the page, the clicks are going to fall off to 1-2%. So that's a well-established fact. People have been talking about this for maybe a decade. The question is, why do I say approximately 30%? And the answer is, whether or not someone clicks on your link depends in great deal on whether or not your listing in the search engines has been optimized to convert the click. You see, this thing that you've listed in the search engines, which is a title and a description and a URL, those are the three things that you have control over in the description. These three things are a call to action for a reader. They're basically ad copy. And with that ad copy, you're trying to influence the searcher to click your link preferentially over the other links that are nearby. And obviously, if you're at the top of the page, you've got a better chance of doing that. But what I'm saying is, you can be at the top of the page, and if you've got bad copy or your search description is poor, they might go right by your link and get the one below you. And the flip is also true. If you've got a better title and description than the guy above you, then someone might reach down and get your link instead. Think about when you search, you scan the top of the page and you pick the one that you want to click on. You don't necessarily click on the top listing and trust Google in that way. And so I want to encourage you to think about these three things, these three pieces that you have control over in terms of conversion. Now, we know for the title tag that we need to have our keywords there because Google is paying close attention to the words in the SEO title tag in order to decide what your page is about. The searcher is paying attention to that to decide whether or not to click on your link. So it's really important that you do two things with the SEO title tag. One is, in addition to having your keywords in there, craft the title so that it's interesting to click. That means you probably don't want the title of your blog in the title. You probably don't want the category and the other kind of junk that WordPress jams in there automatically in the title. You want something like the keyword and exciting call to action. Blue suede shoes look better than Elvis in your new kicks. Okay, something like that. Or if we know the reader has commercial intent, maybe it's something as simple as blue suede shoes. Here are the best deals you'll ever find. Something like that. Something that encourages the reader to click. I think the other thing that you need to pay attention to on the title tag is to make sure that it's not longer than the number of pixels that Google's going to allow you to show. We know that title tags that are incomplete and show the dots of ellipses in the title tag have a lower click-through rate than title tags that are perfectly formed such that they don't run off the page and get those dots of ellipses. So then right below that, of course, is the URL. And there's a couple of things about the URL. Again, you want the keyword in there for algorithm SEO, but you also want the keyword in there so that the reader can see, hey, look, this page is clearly going to be about what I want because there's the keyword right there in the URL. In fact, Google will highlight that for you in bold, which is a really nice thing. And you want it to not look spammy, whatever that means. So that means you want a primary domain name that looks trustworthy, whatever trustworthy means for you in your niche. And you want a URL that's not too long, that looks tidy, so that it looks inviting to click on. If it's 140 characters long and it's got a bunch of funny database characters on the end of it and whatever, we know that people are less likely to click on those URLs that are just a little funny like that, or they look spammy or not trustworthy. So pay attention to the page slug if you're using WordPress for your URLs in your search engine optimization. And then finally, there's the description. As we know, the description doesn't have much SEO impact from an algorithm standpoint, but oh boy, does it have impact with regard to whether or not people click. And basically, this is an ad for your webpage. And it cracks me up because you'll hear people talk about spending hours and hours or days on the wording for an AdWords ad or a Facebook ad. They don't spend any time worrying about the ad for their webpage that's appearing in search, which is the page description. So it's really important that you craft content that achieves two things. One, it entices people to click. Okay, that's a really important thing. It needs to have a call to action that tells them what benefit they're going to get by clicking on your page. It needs to not have these dots of ellipses that I talked about with regard to the title tag. Same idea. You want to make sure that you use a search engine preview tool like Yoast to show you what the listing is going to look like and avoid those dots of ellipses, because we know those don't convert as well. And your copy in your description tag needs to be a match to the search intent. If you know that your searcher's intent is commercial and they're looking, for example, for help deciding which blue suede shoes to buy, you need to make sure in your description that you take advantage of that intent and you're not talking about the lushness of the suede. You're talking about the fact that you can help them decide how to make the purchasing decision, because that's the intent of the keyword that they're using. You need to try and match the message to the market that these people are coming in from. We call that a message to market match. So you know, or you have an idea based on the keyword, what the searcher is probably looking for. You need to make sure that you match your page description to that so that they see, aha, that's what I was looking for. And that matches what they're actually going to get on the page, because the best way to get bounce rate is to promise one thing in the description and deliver something else on the web page. So those are just some things that you need to take a look at. And there's a good article on this that I ran across from Jason Decker. He's a staff writer that I like over at Search Engine Land. And I will put a link to that article in the show notes so you can check it out. Okay, so that wraps it up. I want to encourage you to pay attention to SEO. It's free. Traffic is free. The work to do good SEO is not free. It's a lot of work. But once you get it working, the traffic is free. So that can make a long-term impact to your business. I also want to encourage you to go over and check out John Lee Dumas's new product. Again, I don't gain anything from that other than, you know, love and affection from John for mentioning it on the podcast. But I definitely encourage you to go over and check that out. I've used the Freedom Journal quite a bit, and I'm excited about his new endeavor called the Mastery Journal. It's going to be a hardcover guide that's going to help you in mastering productivity, discipline, and focus in 100 days. And you can check that out over at themasteryjournal.com. Until next week, I hope you totally rock it.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so I'm thinking getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning is not for me. I'm going to have to report back to my friends who are doing this that they're just nuts and I need more sleep. Of course, not getting in bed until midnight probably impacts whether or not getting up at four is a good thing to do. When I first met Pat, he would stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I would be up really late and I would text back and forth with him. And now I didn't think to ask him what time he went to bed to get up at four. I guess I should have asked that. Plus, I'm still a little depressed over the Cowboys loss. I'm really happy. They had a great season. But I just, it's just killing me. So much potential. I don't know what it takes to win a Super Bowl anymore. I mean, we've won three in the, but that was 20 something years ago. I mean, we've won more than three, but in recent memory, we've won three, but that was now over 20 years ago. And I don't know. I'm sad and sleepy. Ciao.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.